I want to speak today about events that will take place between now and the end of time. My authority for speaking on this, as always, is God's book. I've not been looking into a crystal ball. I've not been reading the stars. And I've not been looking into man's predictions of what they think. Everything I want to say today, everything we believe here in this church, is based upon the teaching of the Word of God. This is the only reliable source of knowledge and understanding. If you look into men for knowledge and understanding, they're very limited and very often wrong. It is only the Word of God that can bring to us the truth about the present, about the past, and about the future. Because God, who is the author of this book, has made these things known to us. The beginning of time, the beginning of creation, God introduced time. Time can perhaps be described as a measured, limited duration of existence. And the God who began time at the beginning of creation will terminate it when his purposes have been complete. Of course, fine detail is not always available, even in Scripture. But what is given in the Word of God with regard to future events is clear and for us to understand and appreciate. So I want to look down seven key words which I trust will give us a glimpse, an idea, an overview of events which are to come. And most of these points are taken from 2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And the first word is the word restraint. Restraint. The Bible teaches us that in the last days, a very powerful world ruler will arise. But that world ruler is at present being held back. What does the Bible say? It says, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of the midst. I've illustrated that like this before. Imagine a motorway, 3 or 4 lanes, all the traffic, nose to tail, stretching back for miles. All travelling at about 30 miles an hour. And everyone is perhaps wondering what's going on. Well, it's not a traffic accident. It's not roadworks. At the very front of that traffic, there is a police car. Inside the police car is a policeman. And he is travelling at 30 miles an hour. And so everyone behind him is being held back, being restrained to also travel at 30 miles an hour. And on they go, mile after mile after mile. He has the authority to hold back the traffic. Suddenly, and without warning, the policeman shoots off at a junction and disappears out of sight. What happens? The traffic can't believe their luck. They surge forward 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 miles an hour and beyond. Free of restraint, they're off. Now that, I believe, is a picture of the restraint and the restrainer mentioned here in Scripture. It is quite clear to me that the restrainer is not any man-made organization. Neither is it a government holding back the tide of evil. Only a divine power from God can hold back sin and hold back Satan's man. Because that's what's happening. This powerful world ruler who wants to arise, Satan's man, is being held back not by world government or any man-made organization, but rather by the power of the Spirit of God working through the church. Second point, removal. The restrainer, who I believe is the Holy Spirit, and the restraint, the church, will be taken away, thus allowing the man of sin, as he's called in the Bible, to come forward and to take over and do the work of Satan. The restraint removed. We're talking here about what is present now, and that is the church age. And the church age is the age of the Holy Spirit, which began on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God working in the church will continue to do this work until the Lord cometh back. Now, when the Lord comes back, we are told clearly that he will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. It says the same letter, 1 Thessalonians 1, that the Lord Jesus Christ will come back as our deliverer from the coming wrath. The wrath that will come as a result of the man of sin, Satan's man, reaping havoc and rebellion in this world. But before that time comes, the Lord Jesus will return for his church as our deliverer from the coming wrath. The Lord Jesus said regarding his people that we are two things in this world. We are salt and we are light. Matthew 5, he said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. What does salt do? Well, it resists corruption. It slows down decay. It preserves purity. And it retains flavor. And that is the role, the work of the church in the world today. To resist corruption, to slow down decay, to preserve purity, and to retain flavor. Secondly, the church is seen as light. What does light do? It overcomes and dispels darkness. It exposes hidden things and it illuminates. And that is the work of the church in the world today. Surrounded by sinfulness and rebellion, that is our task, to be as salt and to be as light in this world. And the Holy Spirit, who is the restrainer, works through the church. So that when the church has been taken away and the Holy Spirit is no longer working through the church, then there will come this man of sin upon the scene. The illustration I gave, the Spirit of God will suddenly, or the Lord will suddenly return, the church will suddenly be taken away, and the Holy Spirit will cease to work through the church. And then there will be surge forward of evil in this world. The man of sin will take over Satan's man, and there will be a great rebellion. Third word is revelation. Satan's man will be revealed when the church is gone, and the day of the Lord will come. Now there is a strong connection between the coming of the Lord to deliver his people and the coming of Satan's man to deceive his people. The man of lawlessness, the devil's man, will be uncovered. That's the meaning of the word revelation, to uncover. Something that's been covered for a time, and suddenly the cover's taken off and we see him as he really is. So that it is possible that in the world today, this man of sin, this Antichrist, is actually here. But he won't be uncovered, he won't be revealed, he won't be made known until the church has gone. You might ask the question, why is it that people will accept him? Why is it people will believe him? This verse says the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people say there is peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them. The arrival of the man of sin will initially bring in a time of peace and safety, but then, as we'll see in a moment, things will change. The coming of the lawless one, says the apostle, is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all evil deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them strong delusion so that they may believe the lie. Two reasons why people in the world who are left behind when the Lord comes for the church, two reasons why people will accept this man. Number one, he'll be a master of deceit. A master of deceit. He can fool people and convince people that wrong is right and that right is wrong. And millions will believe him. But the second reason is this. God will send them what is called here strong delusion. An evil deception so that they will believe the lie. Whatever he says, whatever explanation he gives for the disappearance of millions of people, people will believe him. He'll be so convicting. Strong conviction. Strong delusion. Why is that? Well, this verse of scripture tells us. Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And today in which we live, the truth of the word of God and the truth of salvation is being presented. And people have the opportunity to be saved. And some grasp the opportunity. And some say, not for me. When the church is gone, and this man, Satan's man, is revealed, then they will reap the rewards, if that's the right word, for their rejection of Christ. They did not receive the love of the truth when they had the opportunity in order that they might be saved. This man will not tolerate any religion. He'll rather set himself up as God. You can read other scriptures. He will actually go into the temple and set himself up there as God. And everyone will believe it. He'll present himself as the Messiah. Now for hundreds of years, thousands of years, the Jewish people have been waiting for the Messiah. Tragically, when he came, they didn't recognize him, didn't believe him. But when this false man of Satan's man comes, he will present himself as the Messiah, and people will believe he is that Messiah. And he'll prove it, in a sense, by power and false signs and wonders, an almost unbelievable deception, and people will accept him for what he says he is. A peace agreement will be signed with Israel for a period of 7 years. There's a picture of this man in the book of Revelation. He's seen there in chapter 6 as a rider on a white horse. And he's carrying a bow and he's wearing a crown. And the picture here is of one who's coming to conquer and overcome, but he's doing it in a peaceful way. Because as I've already mentioned, he'll come and be acceptable to the people. They'll be deluded and deceived. But then he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. This is going right back to the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 9. He was predicted to come even in the Old Testament, not just the New. And he'll sign a covenant, come to the Jew as the answer to all the problems. He will solve the Middle East problems. He'll sign this covenant. And he'll do some amazing things and bring about peace. And so people will say there's peace and safety, peace and security. Wonderful. What a great man he is, the Messiah, the true Messiah. But then there'll be a response. Because after 3.5 years, the Bible teaches, this man will break his covenant with the Jews. And the great tribulation spoken of by the Lord Jesus in the book of Matthew will begin. In the middle of the week, says Daniel, that is, after 3.5 years, this man, this Satan's man, the man of sin, the Antichrist, will bring an end to sacrifice and offering in the temple. That which made the Jew think he was the Messiah, because of what he did and the peace he brought about. But he'll bring it to an end. And if you read Matthew chapter 24, you'll see the terrible things that will follow. The Lord says this is going to be a major turning point when he comes out in his true colours. Then, says the scripture, there shall be great tribulation. Now the Lord said there will be tribulation for his people, and there has been down the years, down the centuries. But this is described as the great tribulation. This will be so severe, it'll be like nothing that's ever happened before and nothing that will happen after. The great tribulation. For two reasons. It will first of all be because the man of sin has broken his covenant and turned against the Jew. But secondly, it will be an unleashing of God's anger, against man's control, and against Israel's sin for their rejection of the true and their acceptance of the false. You see, the Lord Jesus was here on earth for approximately 3.5 years. He presented himself as the true Messiah. And what happened? Many believed him, but the nation didn't. And they crucified him and they said, "We won't have this man to reign over us." They rejected the true Messiah. During this 3.5 years, the people of Israel will accept the false. Reject the true, accept the false. And therefore, God's anger will be against the Jewish nation because of this. And also, of course, against people, the nations of the world as well. There'll be great tribulation, says Matthew, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. It's described in the Old Testament, this day of the Lord, this great tribulation, as great and terrible. It's described as a destruction from the Almighty. It comes directly from God. Isaiah says it will come with wrath and fierce anger. There are terrible days in store for this world, mainly because they continue in sin and reject the Saviour who wants to change their life and come into their life and be the one they need as a Saviour. Says the Lord regarding those days, these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. The book of Revelation talks about three sets of judgments. Judgments when seals are broken. Judgments when trumpets are blown. Judgments when bowls are poured out. And you can read for yourself from chapter 6 to 19 or 16 the awful effects of these judgments from God upon an evil and rebellious world that has turned its back on God. Next point is return. Because after this, the Lord Jesus will return in power and glory. When the 7-year tribulation is finished, the Lord will appear in power and glory, power and splendor, so different from his first coming. In his first coming, he came as a lamb. In his next coming, in power and glory, he will come as the lion. And everyone will know that God has intervened in the affairs of this world. Today, people laugh at God, say he doesn't exist, and if he does, it doesn't matter to them. There is a time coming, you know, when that will all change. because God will be here. The Lord Jesus Christ will return personally. And the Bible says every eye shall see him, and those who pierced him shall mourn because of him. Is he the one we crucified? Yes, here he is now coming in power and in great glory. One of the first things the Lord will do when he returns is to consume this evil man, this man of Satan, with the breath of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven, said the Lord Jesus, with power and great glory. And John in his revelation says, I saw heaven open, and behold a white horse, and he who sat on him is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. He himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. There are days ahead for this world they have no idea of. We know, not because we are clever or intelligent, but because we read the Word of God. And the Word of God makes it very, very clear that these things we've been speaking of today will actually happen, and the Lord Jesus will return in power and glory. Then we think of his reign. Because after that, he will reign on earth for 1,000 glorious years. The Bible has much to say about this. Matthew says, the Son of Man will come in his glory. Then he will sit on his glorious throne. Yes, the Lord Jesus, the man of Calvary, will take up his throne over there in Jerusalem, and he will reign. And the whole world will be subject to his power and his authority. Says John again, I saw an angel come down from heaven, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And so the devil, who's caused such havoc in the world, and we see it today in every hand, will be bound, will be restricted, will be cast into an abyss for 1,000 years, so that the Lord Jesus can reign here upon earth. Verse 4 of the same chapter says, regarding the people of God, that they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. What kind of a reign will it be? Well, you have to read in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, for example, to see something of this glorious reign of the Lord Jesus. It's a reign of righteousness, a reign of peace, and a reign of holiness, a reign of amazing joy, a reign of knowledge and of prosperity, healing, the fullness of the Spirit. It's going to be 1,000 glorious years when the right king is upon the throne. This is a period of time that is demanded in the Old Testament. The Bible has, the Old Testament especially, has a lot to say about this glorious reign of Christ. First of all, one reason why it's going to be to fulfill Old Testament promises to Israel. If you read the Old Testament, you will find God made promise after promise to the nation of Israel, many of which have not yet been fulfilled, but they will be, because God never breaks a promise. And in this glorious era, this 1,000 years, those promises will be fulfilled that he made to the nation Israel. The second reason for this millennial, the 1,000-year reign of Christ, is this. It will release the earth from its curse. Following the sin of man back in the garden, God pronounced a curse upon the earth. And so the world today, the earth today, is not functioning the way God originally intended. It is Romans chapter 8 that tells us that the whole nation, the whole of creation, is struggling. It's not reached its full potential, but it will do in that glorious day when the Lord returns to reign. Romans 8 says, the creation itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. In that day, the Bible says, the wolf will lie down with the lamb. It doesn't happen today. In that day, the desert will blossom as a rose. It doesn't happen today. But in that day, when the rightful king takes up his authority on earth, the earth will be as God originally intended it to be. It's going to be an amazing time, isn't it? And we who belong to Christ shall be here, and we shall help him to govern the world. Says the apostle to the church, don't you know that the saints will judge the world? When? During this amazing 1,000 years, we shall be administrating things for God here upon this earth. That's going to be an amazing time, isn't it? I'm waiting for the Lord to come to take his church home, but I'm also waiting for this amazing period of time when the Lord Jesus will return to take over the reins of government. Third reason is to display perfect government. There's no perfect government now, never has been. Especially today, we look around and governments are failing, aren't they? That is one of the reasons why the governments could not possibly be the ones restraining the man of sin. Because if anything, they promote sin. They don't restrain it at all. Think of some of the governments in the world today. They're promoting evil and causing trouble. But when the Lord comes, he will display perfect government. Everything will run beautifully, perfectly, when the right king is upon the throne. Fourthly, the 1,000-year reign will take place to provide man with a final test. Will man be what he ought to be, what God intended him to be, if Satan and all his followers are removed? The answer is no. Because there is something about the nature of man which is opposed to God. So that even in ideal conditions, man will not be what God intended him to be. And at the end of the 1,000 years, if you keep on reading in Revelation, you'll find the devil is released. And he moves around the earth and he finds a vast army from the people who have been in the millennium, in the 1,000 years. And they'll join him again. And God will send fire from heaven and they'll all be destroyed. What does that prove? That man by nature is opposed to God. You in your nature, me in my nature, are opposed to God. We need a complete change, and that change is brought about by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Finally then, what is the overall result of this? Time is over as we get towards the end of the book of Revelation, and God's people enter into their eternal joy. There has been this joy for 1,000 years, but that's only just a sample of what is to come. Because the whole of eternity will be one of unparalleled joy for the people of God who have trusted Christ as Saviour. Says John, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain, for the former things have passed away. The things that used to be, the things which so characterize this world and this life, will be gone forever. There'll be no more tears. How do we know that? Because God will wipe them away. That's why. And there are untold joys and pleasures waiting for those who belong to Christ. This is wonderful, you know. Eternal joy for those who belong to Christ. And so the ages of time, created by God as an arena for the glory of his Son, through the unfolding drama of salvation, will have served their divine purpose, and time will be submerged into the vastness of the eternal ages. Yes, the future belongs to those who belong to Christ. He who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. On the last page of God's book, there is an invitation given out. Let him who thirsts come. Whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. And so, with the book of Revelation unfolding all these things that are going to happen, and I've only touched the surface of these things, Revelation unfolding so much that is going to happen in the future, the challenge goes out, the invitation goes out for those who are thirsty. Thirsty for what? Thirsting for God. Thirsting for the truth. Thirsting for the true meaning of life. And what's the invitation? Let him who thirsts come. That's it. Come. While there's time, while there's opportunity, while the things of which we have been speaking have not yet arrived, there is an opportunity for anyone who is thirsty to come. Whoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. If the things which we have been speaking about today, and have only just touched the surface, have left a mark on your mind and heart, and you're beginning to realise God's program for the future, that life will not just go on and on and on and on as the evolutionists try to think. There is an end in sight. God will terminate this world at the right time. And if you're concerned about this, and you recognise the need to get right with God, if you're thirsting for God, thirsting for truth, thirsting for the meaning to life, then listen to the invitation and respond to it and come and bow the knee at the cross, for that's where salvation comes from. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross is sufficient to save all those who believe, and that is the only way into eternal life. It is the only way to enjoy the blessings of which we have been speaking, by coming to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. Maybe to someone here today, you're thirsting for the things of God. Then heed the invitation and come to the Saviour, who is willing and able to save you. Put your faith and trust in him and take of the water of life freely.